Swearing, smut, filth, sexual innuendo, or anything LGBTQI++ related, then please fuck off now. If you're still here, strap on in, pun intended, and enjoy the ride.
This week's episode, I'm joined by Alison from Beautiful Initiative. So I'll introduce her, obviously, in the conversation that we have with her. But honestly, I can't believe how young she is. She's 16 and doing incredible things already. It was awesome speaking to Alison. Thank you for reaching out and giving up your time. I'm sure you're going to do great things, and there's going to be so many people that you're going to help, which is awesome. If you do need help with any kind of styling or makeup, then get in contact with Beautiful Initiative on Facebook or Instagram. Alison will hook you up with the best styler or partner for you that will help you with makeup or styling, and she'll kind of ask you questions and work out who is the best fit for you. I'll let you get stuck in and listen to the episode. I hope you enjoy, and yeah, any feedback or anything you want to ask or reach out with questions, then contact us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. Cheers, guys. Enjoy.
So this is Alison. She joins us on the podcast today from Buffalo Grove, Illinois in the United States. She is gay and the founder of Beautiful Initiative, an organization that provides free beauty and fashion services to trans and non-binary people. Welcome to the podcast, Alison.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's okay. It's good that you've found us. And just to put it out there, I managed to not record the first bit, so we are doing it again. Yay, technology, love it. Brilliant. Did you want to kind of give us a lowdown of how you came out to your friends and family and how that went and how it was received?
Sure, yeah. So I first came out to my parents. And my dad said, okay, that was his response. He just said, okay. And then we talked about something else. And my mom said, I wish I was bisexual. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, girls know what to do. Girls know how to do it. And I was like, thank you. I'm 14. I am 14 years old. And I didn't come out to anyone else besides my friends. Before one of my best friends, Jacqueline, said, can we please do a pride photo shoot? We both really love photography. We go everywhere in our area and take pictures. We go to the city all the time. And we go to a bunch of local attractions and take pictures all the time. And she was like, can we do a pride photo shoot? And I was like, sure. So we did that. And then I posted the pictures, and that's how I came out to everyone else. And I got loads of phone calls that night from family members, because I did not tell them. I didn't even tell my brother before I posted the pictures.
Wow, that's awesome. And what was their reaction?
It was really surprisingly positive. I mean, I didn't think anyone would, you know, do anything horrible, but I didn't think they would be as receptive to it as they are. My family's all, you know, supportive of LGBTQ, but it gets hard when especially a lot of my friends, I see that their families are outwardly accepting, but like when it's their kids, it kind of changes.
Yeah, the dynamic's like different, isn't it, when it's your family? It's okay, right? If they are, but what, my kid, huh? What, I didn't think that through. So yeah, and those kind of journeys people need to go on to work out how to accept their kids with being LGBT when it's not other people's, that's fine, and they're not my family, so it's okay. Well, I'm glad that you came out and everything went swimmingly by the sounds of it. It's awesome. That's so good. So you're only 16, which is incredible with the kind of things that you're already involved with and what you're pioneering. So give us a lowdown of your organization and what you do and how you do it and how people get in contact with you.
Yeah, so I really always loved public speaking. This past year for a child development class, I had to do a child advocacy project where pretty much you choose an issue that impacts someone or children, and then you have to do something in the public about it. Whether that's, you know, I know a bunch of people did homelessness and they would collect donations for homeless shelters near us for like specifically for kids, which was totally great. And I said that I wanted to do LGBTQ mental health. And my teacher said that's not a widespread issue. So I unfortunately was not allowed to do that. Wow. And instead I did children with disabilities, which is another one of my passion. I've been learning American Sign Language for 5 years now, and I plan on studying that through college and continuing with that. So I did that instead. Thank you. And then I went to a bunch of the little elementary schools near us, and I did 5 different presentations within a matter of 3 weeks, because this was all right before Corona. I did, in 3 weeks, I did 7 presentations to groups ranging from 21 to 75 kids. Wow. I was also invited back to be a keynote speaker for a group of 128. I was invited back to do 3 assemblies for groups of 75 and above, and then do something that we do is called Team Day. I don't know if other schools do it, but our schools do it, where you just go around to a bunch of different speakers with your classroom and like learn about different things. I was invited back to do that, so that would have been 5 groups of 50 in a day. Wow. So I was so sad that I couldn't continue with that, and I really can't do anything with that either during the summer or during Corona. So I was in contact with a really big activist in our area, in my area, who is the founder of our Buffalo Grove Pride Parade. And I know her daughter, we used to do performing arts together. And I was like, how do I get into activism? And I've always loved makeup. I'm a freelance makeup artist. I'm makeup obsessed. And I was just thinking, how weird would it be if, you know, someone who is, or how weird would it feel to them, I mean, if someone who's non-binary or transgender, maybe doesn't look like a stereotypical female, goes into a makeup store and asks for help. Makeup store employees aren't trained to deal with that, sadly. And a lot of times I've been to stores with non-binary friends who don't look traditionally masculine or feminine, I mean, and the makeup store employees have asked if they were getting makeup for their girlfriend.
Right. Okay. So.
So that was a huge.
Didn't spot the signs or kind of help alleviate their already probably worries, concerns, stress, anxiety, just walking into the shop in the first place, let alone asking for help.
Right. So what we do is I have a group of, oh my God, I keep forgetting. It's either 9 or 10 of us, and we all specialize in a bunch of different things. I have people who are transgender, people who are non-binary. And then people who are professional estheticians, professional makeup artists. I have someone who worked with Clinique Makeup for years upon years doing skincare. So what we do is when a client gets in contact with us, and the way they do that is for safety reasons, we are only doing it through Facebook and Instagram, because that way we have an account attached to a person. Yeah. Just for safety. Safety is our number one priority. So once they message us, I am the person who talks with them, briefs them a bit on what we're doing, and then I listen to them, I ask them questions, and then pair them up with who I think would be best. Once they get paired up with our dream team member who is going to help them, we offer makeup lessons. We can go to stores with them and like physically help them shop for makeup, for clothes, bras, anything like that. We can also, if they pay us back, buy a binder, because I know a lot of people can't safely buy binders by themselves. That also goes for tucking panties, any, you know, physical augmentation thing that they need that they cannot get. And then we can rewrap it and deliver it to them however they would feel most comfortable doing so. And we also have someone who is currently non-binary and also in the closet. So they know what it's like firsthand to be in the closet. And so they have a bunch of different ways to, we focus mostly on femininity. That's just what, you know, we're trying to embody with this. But if someone comes to us and needs tips on how to be masculine, we are in no way going to turn them down. This is a super inclusive project. We're not turning anyone down because of gender identity. We're just gearing it towards trans and non-binary people. So we have people who have been in the closet before. We have someone who is female to male transgender, And we also have someone who is non-binary, and they are amazing at helping people figure out some safe ways to lower their dysphoria and be able to, you know, either be feminine or be masculine while also not outing them and keeping them safe.
That's awesome. And I suppose it's kind of where you are in Buffalo Grove currently, but I suppose people could get in contact and set up satellite kind of versions of how you're doing that and potentially kind of have that nationwide or globally to help people in different areas. Because while you can help online, you know, with tips and kind of videos and, you know, things like Zoom calls or FaceTime to kind of go through tips, kind of watch me put this makeup on, or watch me, this is how this binder works, this is how this binder works, which one works for you, do you want us to send it, those kind of things. But I suppose if people were available in your area, so if there's more of your organizations available, people could then go and actually visit your, I don't know, people in a coffee shop, or if you manage to get a kind of site that people can go and actually visit and see you guys there, to try and help more and more people, which would be awesome. What's your kind of go-to, what success stories have you got, and how are those people kind of coping and working through?
Yeah, so just to go back to your first point before I touch on that, we right now, because of the state of America, we are, most of our services are available only on Zoom, just to do our part, social distance, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And we are obviously not limiting to area. It does get a little bit harder when they are far away and the time zones are a bit different, but we are in no way going to turn anyone down. We also, when it comes to when we do go to in-person services, I am regulating that every service has to be in a public area, again, once again, for safety. But yeah, so we can work with anyone, and when Corona, you know, dies down, we are still going to be doing Zoom services for people who either can't get to a public area, it's safer to do so. We always have that option open. As for success stories, I can actually read you the review of a client, our first client actually. We've only been doing services for, this is our second week.
Wow.
So, yes. So new, I've already worked.
New.
We're very new. I've already personally worked with our first client just so I could see how it works and then tell my members like what to expect. And we have another client that we're working with. But we are working on getting publicity so we can reach more and more people. So, oops, I'm on the wrong thing. Let's find this. So I was working with her. She is a transgender female, and she is 14 years old. So this is what she said. She said, "I love this organization. Allison is the kindest person ever. She is so pretty and smart as well. I love how she helped me pick out my makeup, and I didn't feel alone doing it. I would totally work with her again and again."
Oh, that's and cool.
Yeah, and then we also got from a parent of a client. She said, "Allison is a true leader and visionary. We're so lucky to have Be Beautiful as a resource in our community. My 14-year-old male-to-female daughter came out last fall. I noticed there were so many holes in her social feminine etiquette and education. There were things that I taught my cisgendered older daughter along the way that I had never taught my trans daughter. Allison and her dream team have been there to help us bridge the gaps in a non-threatening and fun way. Allison is so organized and professional that she is a safe ally to both my trans daughter and myself. I highly recommend it."
Wow. That's awesome. And that is the kind of feedback you're getting already only 2 weeks in. That's incredible. Yeah. Just from being able to support, help and get people to reach out to, as you say, 9 or 10 different people and pairing them up to ensure they feel comfortable. That's awesome. Well done.
Thank you.
Amazing. How can people help you with funding and that kind of side of things? Because I'm assuming, you know, well, you can do certain amount of things for free. You know, these things do cost time and money to be able to set up. So how could people potentially send funds your way?
So the way that we're doing it is all of our volunteers, no one makes money off of this. The only things that do cost money are, we have our sponsorship program, which is something I am super excited about, where we are accepting donations based on an as-need basis. If we get someone who comes to us and says, I need makeup, I need a binder, I need tucking panties, whatever they need, if they can't afford it, we will then go crowdsource for the money and then buy it for them, which is something I'm super excited about. It was something I was working on for a really long time once I had this idea. Again, I don't know how it works in the UK, but in America, we have to like register as a nonprofit or a not-for-profit in order to be able to collect funds safely without having to go through a bunch of loopholes, which is not something I'm looking to do. So I'm currently working tirelessly behind the scenes to get us registered as a not-for-profit. It is a bit more complicated than I thought it was going to be, considering I'm still a minor. So once we get the registration set, I'm going to be opening up a GoFundMe. All of the funds from the GoFundMe will go towards paying off the registration fees, and then also we are working on hosting events after Corona, or some of them on Zoom. A couple of things that we are in the works of, you know, workshopping. We want to do a like a beauty convention kind of thing. We want to have makeup artists there giving, you know, tips to the people who come and make it for a very safe space for people who are trans and non-binary. Or maybe cisgendered men who want to get into drag, cisgendered men who want to learn how to do makeup, all that kind of deal. Just people who aren't typically accepted in a normal makeup store. That's what, you know, something I really want to do. And I also really want to do a LGBTQ visibility thing, event for parents. Parents of LGBTQ people, parents of straight people, teachers. I think that, I don't know how it is like where you are, but I know for me, we have little to no LGBTQ education in our schools. I remember, you know, this past year in sophomore year, our second year of high school, is when we have to take our mandatory health class. I'm sitting there during sex ed and it is completely wired towards heterosexual couples. And I'm sitting there not knowing the risks that can go along with being with another woman. And I just found that out when I had to go to my doctor. And she was like, oh, by the way, did you, because I made some joke. I joke about being gay all the time. And I made some joke about it. And she's like, oh, do you prefer to have a same-sex partner? And I was like, yes, I do. She's like, great. I'm just going to like write that down just for your, you know, your
code.
Right. And she was like, did you know? And then she said, you know, some sex ed things. And I was like, no, I didn't. And she was like, they didn't teach you that in health class? No, they didn't teach me that in health class. And so I think getting, you know, the wheels turning and the ball rolling with doing this outside of school. And then I'm hoping to work together with the Buffalo Grove Pride Project, work with them and get some required LGBTQ health education to our local schools is something that I really am hoping to do. And that's what the funds are going to help with. None of the funds are going to any volunteer for like their time or anything. That is not what we're about. No one is making money off of this. And then any money that we have, if we don't have a reason to spend it, it will either be kept on reserve, or we are partners with amazing LGBTQ, especially trans and non-binary resources near us, and we would love to fund them as well. So that's where our funds are going to be going.
That's amazing. That's so cool that people have that opportunity to be able to contact you, because they, if people are feeling like they need to transition, need tips and help, that's something that you can provide. But also, you know, it isn't a cheap thing to do. So for some people, buying a binder or being able to afford makeup that assists with them kind of portraying how they want to on the outside is not easy. And if people are struggling with funds, I'm sure that it'll be incredible to have people fund them and give them that kind of self-acceptance, really. You know, sod the people who see them. It's about feeling who authentically themselves, which will be amazing. God, I can't believe you're 16 and you're doing all this. Bloody hell. We had no sex education at school at all. And allegedly that's changing next year in the UK. We had something called Section 28 that was brought in by Maggie Thatcher, who's one of our prime ministers in the 80s, which prohibited any sex education of same-sex.
Is there a heterosexual sex ed?
Yes, yeah, okay. And that's the only sex ed that was allowed to be taught. They weren't allowed to promote or even say that it existed when I was at school. So some teachers do teach it now. They're not prohibited because Section 28 got removed, but it's actually going to be mandated that they have to teach about same-sex relationships and sexual health. So thank goodness, but it's taken till kind of 2020, 2021 for that to happen, which is insane considering, you know, if you look at the stats, they think 1 in 10 people are LGBTQ. So that's 1 in 10 people who could be putting themselves at risk sexually from getting STDs or STIs, depending on what you call them over there.
Yeah, I know for us, I don't think they're prohibited in any way, but it's just not in the curriculum. It's gotten a lot. So how it works for us, or at least at my school, is we do a health class when you were in middle school, which is like after elementary school. We do it in like 7th and 8th grade. We do health class and it's like only for like 3 weeks. And then there it's pretty much just like basic, like social things. Like it's not, they barely even talk about like sex ed. We are split boys and girls, which is something I don't like because then men aren't educated about things that happen with the female anatomy and vice versa. And I think that's something that society entirely is lacking. And then after those like 3 weeks for 2 years, it is required, I think federally or maybe just in Illinois, I'm not sure, that you do it in your second year of high school. It's a whole like semester, so half of our school year. And there's one unit on sex health, and it is entirely heterosexual. There are some people who ask about what, like, same-sex questions, but personally, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that in front of my peers. Like, I'm completely out. Like, people know, but asking those questions...
Yeah, it makes it very personal and very kind of... explicit, doesn't it? You're kind of putting your head on the block to be like, yeah, I'm talking about me and I'm talking about, you know, my sexual activity, which when you're at school and there's the kind of playground chat and names and all that, you don't want to raise your head above the parapet to get laughed at. So yeah, it should definitely be part of the curriculum, and people may not be comfortable or may not have even gone on their kind of evolutional journey to work out if they are gay or not. And actually they need those facts and that knowledge for them to kind of be aware as they do experiment, they know what they're doing and they're not putting themselves or their partners or, you know, sexual partners at risk because they haven't been educated. So yeah, it's really important. Well done.
Thank you.
I'm sure you'll get there. You seem tenacious and up for kind of progressing anything, it seems. I can't believe you're 16. What are you going to be like by the time you're 30? You're president.
Hopefully.
That's awesome. I suppose in terms of the spectrum that you cover, how many people have engaged with you so far and what kind of numbers do you think you'll be able to cope with? Because I suppose if you get 100 people that contact you, maybe you then have to kind of have a rota system for people to be, you know, later in the month or et cetera.
Right. So the way that I'm doing it is we are doing it first come, first serve. Just we're not doing like an application. We don't think that anyone should have to prove their validity to get our help. That's not something I vibe with. We are... Right now, we've, like I've said, only had 2 clients just because publicity is really hard, especially right now, getting a hold of news reporters with everything going on in America is very difficult. I've been trying. A story like this, unfortunately, does not get the same, right? It doesn't get the same views. It doesn't get the same engagement as something that would be like about, you know, the Supreme Court decisions that are happening today, the Black Lives Matter movement, which are all entirely valid and all completely important. I support everything that's going on. But just because of the timing, it's not working out well for getting, you know,
the momentum that you need to kind of get right. Lifted.
So I've been working with some people. I actually have an interview for a local LGBTQ newspaper on Saturday, which is amazing. So I'm hoping after we get publicity, we'll get more and more people. I also have a list of people who want to volunteer with us. So I only accepted 10 or however many I accepted at first, just because I didn't want to have too many volunteers and then not enough clients.
Yeah.
I also wanted to make sure not every volunteer does the same thing. I personally am specializing. Well, I do all the matchmaking. That is something that I personally am taking care of. I'm also doing makeup lessons, helping shop for makeup and helping shop for clothes. We have other people who are helping specifically for people who are in the closet. We have people who are specifically doing skincare. I have someone who is amazing. She is doing wig care, which is something I didn't even think about.
Wow.
And she was like, hey, I do cosplaying and I have wigs upon wigs. I know how to work with them. And I was like, thank you. I didn't even think of that. At first, our project was initially called the Beautiful Makeup Initiative. And then I had that idea and then I started crowdsourcing some ideas. I was like, do you think anyone would be interested in it? Is anyone interested? That kind of deal. And someone said, why don't you just drop the makeup and help with everything? And I was like, that's a great idea. So we ended up dropping the makeup. It's just Beautiful Initiative and we're helping with anything anyone needs. So I will be accepting more volunteers, hopefully, if we see the need for it, is how I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I suppose just making listeners aware, because beautiful is obviously spelt B-E-A-U-T.
Right.
F-U-L. But yours is B-E-Y-O-U-T-I-F-U-L.
Yeah. So it's like, so it's like a play on the word beautiful, but it's beautiful. So
yeah. So I just want to make sure people can find you, because if they're just searching for the usual beautiful, they might not find you. And it's important that if they need help and advice and support, then, you know, they need to type in the right thing. So you're on Instagram and Facebook.
Yes.
And is it just beautiful and they'll find you? Are there any kind of...
So on both of them, the way that you could find it is in like the search bar, typing in beyoutiful.initiative is how you can find both. They'll both have the same logo, the logo just in case, because there are a bunch of other beautiful initiatives. So in case, just so you find the right one, it will say that our, like in the bio, it says like our mission is to inspire confidence in trans and non-binary people by offering free beauty and styling services or something like that. Our logo is like a hanger with a makeup brush that's rainbow. That's very different than all of the other ones. So that's how you can find us.
Cool. That's awesome. Honestly, Alison, you are a breath of fresh air and well done and keep up the good work. I think you're going to spiral into some amazing things and I'm sure your project will grow and grow and grow. And I'm really thankful that people have that opportunity to be able to contact you and your organization to get help, support, and advice. It's amazing.
We would love to work with anyone and everyone. Does not matter where you're from, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter your gender identity either. If you're questioning, we can help you. If you're cis, we can help you. We are obviously just gearing this towards trans and non-binary people, but please do not like say that this isn't for you. This is for everyone. It's for everyone who needs help.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for joining us, Alison. Legendary. And yeah, keep in touch. Anyone who wants to contact her, find them on Instagram or Facebook. When we've launched the podcast, I will tag Alison in so she can keep abreast of any of the comments and can kind of get hold of you guys if you want to get hold of her. So thank you so much, Alison. Really appreciate you giving up your time and for doing this initiative. It's amazing. Well done at only 16. Incredible. Makes me feel like a granny in comparison, and I've done nothing with my life.
The podcast is amazing, and I just remember watching, you know, YouTube videos or interviews of people, especially on the Ellen show. She's like a huge idol of mine. Watching her interviews, especially the one with Samira Wiley from Orange is the New Black, I remember having that representation. Even when I was closeted, I was like, I want to be like them. And so you doing this is amazing. So thank you.
Oh, bless you. No worries. Thank you so much. And take care. And
you too.
Stay in touch for sure.
Stay safe.
Thank you.
I really hope you enjoyed as much as I did chatting to Alison. What a fab lady. She is all over it. And the thing she's going to achieve in her life is just going to be incredible. So I can't wait to watch her grow and learn and just get stuck into whatever initiatives and pioneering activities she undertakes. She's going to do so well. Thanks for joining this podcast, guys. Really appreciate it. Love that you tune in and listen each week. We're really appreciative of that. Hoping Growbag's going to join me for the next one. Hoping to get it out next week, but we're a bit time constrained. We've got a lot of work and bits and pieces on with appointments and baby stuff. We'll endeavour to try and, get into your ears next week. But thanks for listening. Lots of love. Laters, my lovers. Thanks for listening to Spill the LGBT. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't done so already, please rate, review, share and subscribe, as that helps other listeners find this podcast. For you fabulous, positive, constructive people, feel free to reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. There you can help give us topics, link us to exciting people to speak with or interview, or give us things to discuss in future episodes. This is a podcast for our community, so want it to be engaging. Thanks very much.
Laters, my lovers.